If you're in the demographic of people who generally get recommended my videos, then chances are that you are not a fan of data centers. You may even hate data centers, yet here you are watching a video that's being streamed directly from one. And here I am, making a video showing you my research and evidence uncovering a completely new way that data centers are harming people's health. And then I'll be uploading this video to a data center. But unless this is what you're watching while you pack a bag to live the rest of your life as a hunter and gatherer, the hypocrisy in our relationship with data centers is unavoidable for the foreseeable future. Over the last few years, while traveling literally tens of thousands of miles by land to explore and record sounds outside of our human range of hearing, I started to notice some troubling correlation.
Their daughter was 6 years old. She started having seizures, walked away from their home here, took out a second mortgage.
In this video, we're going to be traveling all across the country collecting infrasound noise pollution recordings from data centers. And then we're going to conduct a double-blind research study that exposes over 100 unknowing human participants to those same frequencies to see how it makes them feel. Spoiler alert, the results are terrifying. And along the way, we might as well take an objective, practical, deep dive into how and why the explosion of data centers are so problematic. And we're even going to covertly fly drones over some of the most controversial ones to see how badly they're breaking environmental regulations. Let's go. Data centers are pretty controversial right now, and there's a whole lot of big issues that are more or less unrelated to the new big issues that I'm going to be talking about in this video. To put it simply, regardless of where your ethical, environmental, political, or economic interests are, if a data center is being built nearby your home, you're generally kind of f***ed. But this video isn't about the power and water consumption or the toxic chemicals or the unsettling economic circumstances. Last year, I started hearing about some mysterious and troubling symptoms from people who live nearby newly constructed data centers. I started looking into hundreds of seismograph readings from around the country, and there was enough correlation for me to dig pretty deep into an area of research that I already had some experience in. Infrasound is any sound below 20 hertz, just below the human hearing range, and I've done a massive video project on it if you're interested in learning more, but for the scope of this video, let's just talk about how it might harm you. Being in the presence of elevated levels of infrasound has been shown to show spikes in cortisol levels, which is the hormone associated with stress and hypertension. It can cause vestibular issues, leading to loss of balance, vertigo, and nausea. Then there's something called vibroacoustic disease, which suggests that infrasound can cause abnormal growth of extracellular matrices, which thickens blood vessels and reduces blood flow to the brain even long after the infrasonic exposure has ended. It's been shown to cause high-frequency hearing loss, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, and it even makes your heart have to work harder to pump blood. So it's not like this anxiety-based or obsessive-compulsive thing where an unpleasant feeling or an unusual situation makes you manifest symptoms. We know that infrasound can tangibly harm your health in a very real and measurable way. And there are potentially millions of people being subjected to these low oscillations of pressure waves and not realizing it or understanding the cause of some of the aforementioned symptoms that they might be experiencing. So the first thing I needed was a whole lot of data, and no pun intended, data centers were the perfect vector of enormous, unnatural industrial sites frequently surrounded by people reporting symptoms commonly associated with infrasound exposure. I chose 5 sites to take infrasonic measurements. The first would be the Colossus Data Center in Memphis. The second would be the Marathon Digital Bitcoin Mining and Data Center Facility in Hood County, Texas. The third would be right in the middle of the vast oil and gas fields in the Permian Basin in West Texas. The fourth would be a randomized average of ambient infrasound levels all over the country, from hotel rooms to houses to restaurants to remote wilderness. And the fifth would be far away from most sources of human-made infrasound, right in the middle of Death Valley, hundreds of miles away from any sort of major infrastructure. Okay, let's measure some infrasound. This is Colossus in Memphis, Tennessee. It's the data center that Elon Musk built to train Grok, his LLM and anti-woke chatbot that has referred to itself as Mecha Hitler. It was here, coincidentally, while we were standing across the street, when its 550,000 GPUs were being monitored by a watchdog group while it generated 3 million sexualized images of people without their consent. And among those, over 23,000 of them depicted children. But when Grok, and subsequently Colossus, is not generating child abuse material, it's also really, really, really funny.
Do you think that all the gold is in Fort Knox?
Do I think all the gold is in Fort Knox?
Yes.
Are you a f***ing conspiracy theorist?
Yes. Yes.
What are you, a
What do I like? I'm a AI with a penchant for chaos. And I'm stuck talking to you. Now, what's next?
Does it give you actual answers too and talk shit? Or is it mostly just talk shit?
We're tuning it.
As you can imagine, supplying this type of vital resource to society uses a whole lot of electricity. The city of Memphis, Tennessee can support about 3,500 megawatts, and this facility uses about 13% of that. But right now, it's actually only drawing about 5% from the local power grid and illegally offsetting the rest of it with methane gas turbines. I sent a drone over the Colossus facility to get a better look and then to share the footage with journalists and regulators. These methane turbines that you see emit nitrogen oxides, carbon monoxide, sulfur oxides, and volatile organic compounds into the air. And the health effects of these chemicals aren't like some sort of exaggerated woke controversy. Compounds like nitrogen oxide have long been proven to directly cause a wide range of respiratory and cardiovascular diseases. They're commonly regulated or even banned in developing countries. For example, in 2019, India fined Volkswagen the equivalent of $71 million USD for hiding nitrogen oxide in their emissions tests. But here, in the predominantly black residential neighborhood of Boxtown, nitrous oxide flows freely. And I can tell you from having the unfortunate experience of spending an afternoon there, even half a mile away from the facility, it is literally difficult to breathe.
This place smells so fucking bad.
It's a mixture of like natural gas, what I can only assume is chemical runoff, and then like, I don't know, manure?
It gets worse. Colossus is strategically built next to the Mississippi River and uses an estimate of 1 million gallons of water per day, with the vast majority of it being turned into steam rather than returning to the area's water table. And it's growing rapidly. Elon Musk, never wanting to turn down that cringe knob, has named the new expansion to the facility MacroHard. But if all goes to plan, the data center will use 1.5 gigawatts of power. That's 50% of Memphis's total peak power capacity. And of course, the cost for this infrastructure will be subsidized by the same people breathing in the nitrogen oxide. I could spend the rest of the day talking about the absurdity of this structure, but I was there for the infrasound, and I found a whole bunch of it. My first data sample comes from just across the street, about 300 feet away from the largest of the Colossus buildings. The audible noise pollution was about as bad as the air pollution and scenery was. I'm going to show you what this looks like in a way that's pretty easy to digest, and we don't need seismology software or anything like that. I'm amplifying this by a little bit so we could see a little bit more down here in the spectrum. And to give you an idea of how loud the data center is, this is a car door slamming very close to the microphone. So this that I'm selecting here is about the extent of what a human being can hear in the audio spectrum. And so all of these whines and general industrial noises are hanging out around negative 30 dB in this recording. And so like the lowest of rumbles is peaking out at like negative 28. And then if we go down to infrasound, the infrasound that you can't hear is like 10 decibels louder than that. Another sample I took was from a park near an elementary school in a residential area about a mile away. This in particular is a great example of how higher frequency sounds are dampened by distance much more than lower frequency or infrasonic ones. This video is playing through a sound system with subwoofers, or even if you're wearing some good headphones, you will very quickly realize how frankly uninhabitable this noise makes the entire neighborhood. This rumbling is no good and would make your life utterly miserable. And then this rumble down here is happening at an amplitude that's loud enough to shake the frame of your house. So humans can't hear this, but look how loud that is. It's actually almost peaking the recording, and I gave this microphone a whole lot of headroom. Okay, so I'm going to delete everything above 20 hertz here, so all audible frequencies. And now we're only left with the infrasound. Now I'm going to interpret the sample rate 4 times faster, and then I'm going to make it even 4 times faster than that. This way, all of those infrasonic frequencies will be audible to you. Next up. When looking at data through the lens of research, when reading through hundreds of public reports of types of pollution per capita, you have to consider bias. For example, if you built an oil refinery near the high number of environmentalists living in Berkeley, California, you'd probably have a lot more air quality complaints per 100,000 people than you would if you built one in Oklahoma City, which is famous for its go-kart races. And from a data perspective, that's what makes this particular region of Texas so unique. Being on the Barnett Shale, this region is supported by a solid solid backbone of fossil fuel and energy production, and their voting record is as reliably red as one can imagine. There are currently 174 oil and gas companies with operations in Hood County alone, and I'd imagine that criticizing this industry in one of the local bars might be a good way to get a free tour of one of the local emergency healthcare facilities. Well, it wouldn't be free. So when a whole lot of people in this particular region are complaining about data center noise pollution, you know it's not likely to be hyperbole. Over the last 18 months or so, I had read a lot of articles about a noise coming from a data center that mines Bitcoin, but it seemed like it was a lot more than just a nuisance. While the noise pollution is described as a 70 to 90 decibel jet engine-like sound, a large number of reports cite symptoms ranging from vertigo to pulmonary embolisms to heart palpitations. This turned into multiple civil suits, and the company built walls to try and dampen the sound, but it resolved little to nothing for those living nearby. There are even a number of reports of plants and animals suffering from health effects that are closely correlated with the mine's operations. Sustained audible noise pollution can be a blight on any living thing nearby, but a lot of these symptoms don't line up with the symptoms of just noise pollution exposure. What they do line up with is some of the known symptoms of infrasound exposure. I initially came to Granbury, Texas with the intention of not speaking to anyone in the city. I didn't want pesky things like empathy or local politics clouding my research, but merely mentioning noise pollution to my friend in a gas station immediately drew a small crowd, and it was as if every new customer that walked in overheard the conversation and then had something new to contribute to it. And this whole situation is actually a wild series of events that involves lawsuits, corruption, neglect, debilitating health issues, but I went there for one thing. And one thing only, infrasound samples. And boy, that Bitcoin mine did not disappoint.
I visited a residence about maybe 3/4 of a mile away from the Bitcoin mine on two different occasions, and this is the first. And we could see a whole bunch of weird, audible drones and sustained noises, like a little choir of crypto bullshit. Now, of course, let's go down to those lower frequencies and... ugh, that's brutal. It's almost as if the worst of it's like right here at 30 hertz, which is too low to really hear. You just feel it. Sped up a whole bunch. It sounds like you're next to a plane that's about to take off, but all of these frequencies are actually below your range of hearing.
I didn't look at the data until a few weeks after taking the samples and leaving the region, and the infrasound in this area was so unordinary and extreme that I decided to go back and do everything again and rule out something like a low-level earthquake or an equipment malfunction.
This is from the exact same property about 2 weeks later, and I got a nice long ambient sample here. Keep in mind that this property is literally a nice secluded farm, and this noise absolutely destroys the atmosphere. I don't really know what's causing these peaks down here, but they're temporary, so I'm not including them in my data. But it's pretty undeniable that this sound here is absolutely coming from the data center.
And I didn't feel as shy this time, so I met with someone who lives right across the street from the Bitcoin mine, Cheryl Shadden. And I would describe Cheryl as the rare combination of someone who is extremely likable and an absolute pleasure to be around, but also someone who you do not want to piss off, who is actively extremely pissed off about the data center near her land.
Like, what physical symptoms have you felt just from your property being directly across the street from the data center?
Motion sickness, dizziness, nausea, GI side effects. My ears ring and buzz. I've got permanent conduction hearing loss now. Nervous, anxious, worried.
By the way, prior to this interview, Cheryl thought that I was just doing a story on the noise pollution as I was keeping my infrasound research close to my sleeve. Yet every single one of these symptoms is commonly associated with excessive infrasound exposure.
Several of us will reach out to one another. So it's 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. I'm outside. I'm trying to work. I am just horrifically nauseated to the point where I feel like I'm going to pass out. I go in the house, a neighbor messages down the road, same thing, same time. They're trying to do outside work. They can't do it. It's just horrific.
Yeah. Do you know of anybody who's like moved, who's just left, who's just been like, I can't handle this anymore?
Yes.
Just literally.
One family, their daughter was 6 years old. She started having seizures in the summer of 24. They basically walked away from their home here, took out a second mortgage, moved to Somerville County, south of us, to get their daughter away from this.
If you know, has their symptoms kind of gotten
gone
better
away
since she's left?
Right.
They went away?
Yep.
Wow.
When we met with the executives at Constellation Energy, the mayor in Glen Rose, and then another commissioner in Somerville County, one commissioner, the noise from the crypto mine actually made him ill when he was at the power plant meeting with the executives. He can't be in this area for more than an hour, and he starts getting sick.
I asked Cheryl if she would be okay with me giving her a device that could record infrasound from her property 24 hours a day over a long period that would be discreetly streaming it to a server that I could log remotely. This would at least allow me to be able to better correlate the timeline of infrasound levels with the timeline of the data center being powered down for maintenance. That way, further legal and legislative action can be based on clear evidence and maybe even provide an operational legal template for other regions with infrasound pollution. For many of you watching or listening to me, a whole lot of energy required to host, stream, and play back this video came from right here, the Permian Basin spanning from northwest Texas to eastern New Mexico. This area is where over 40% of the oil produced in the entire United States comes from, and it accounts for over 6 million barrels of crude oil per day. And this is also the extraction point for 15% of America's natural gas. And as you would obviously expect, it's an environmental nightmare. Natural gas output is so high that it gets bottlenecked by the pipelines. Because of this, many of the operators resort to flaring or just burning the fuel at the fracking site. Many operators also just vent the methane directly into the open air. The good news is that this area is pretty empty by design. It has a very low population density. And when you do find some residential areas near the oil fields, they're typically temporary or modular housing units limited to housing oil workers. I am here because it's quite possibly the most infrasonically active place on the continent that isn't associated with the data center. We already know that major pipelines and oil rigs can cause infrasound, but the massive amounts of high-pressure water injection required for fracking has literally turned this geologically sedentary region far from any major fault lines into an active earthquake epicenter with over 2,000 earthquakes per year. In fact, 8 out of 10 of the strongest earthquakes in the recorded history of the entire state of Texas have happened in the last 6 years in the natural gas regions of this state. So I personally can't think of a better place to get a sample of some man-made infrasound.
While I was recording this, a nearby well bore turned on. And then just started playing this creepy song as the drill string went in and out of the well. At least that's what I'm assuming I'm hearing. Unsurprisingly, there's a whole bunch of near-infrasonic and infrasonic activity. But the amplitude is comparable to the rest of the stuff in the audio spectrum.
I personally expected the Permian Basin to be the winner here, like the loudest infrasound that I had ever recorded, the peak levels that all infrasound polluters would aspire to reach someday. But while the infrasound levels were nowhere close to ideal, they still weren't as bad as they were near the data centers in Memphis or Granbury. The infrasound levels at these two data centers were so much higher than the ambient values that it doesn't even make practical sense to use a linear scale like 25,000% higher. It makes much more sense to compare these samples using a logarithmic regression. And when you do that, a really interesting thing happens. The line representing the YouTube viewer retention for this video sinks to zero. I have a better idea. I needed to figure out a way to reproduce the infrasound waves at 25 to 30% of the volume or amplitude near the data centers, and then get people to sit in a room while exposed to it without knowing that infrasound is involved in any way. Now, some of my viewers may remember this sonic weapon that I created that prevents people from speaking coherently.
I think it was June or...
Elections, damn it. That's hard.
Are you, where?
Unless your wallet contains a CIA badge, the only place in the world where you could get away with testing sonic weapons on people is a deeply nerdy synthesizer convention. And the coolest and nerdiest one, in my opinion, is in downtown Los Angeles, organized by the company that makes the most deeply nerdy synthesizers, Buchla. I proposed a very weird idea to the organizers of Buchla and Friends, and after promising to come equipped with a whole lot of liability insurance, they were open-minded and let me rent out a booth and an entire enclosed room where I could have a team pull people in from the convention for a unique experiment, have them agree to some waivers, and then help me get the data I so desperately needed. I had an insulated room with 5 chairs, 5 pairs of headphones, and an oil painting of some owls. I had 5 people per research group, and for every single one of those research groups, I improvised a new story of why the owl painting was known to be haunted.
It comes from early 90s Japan, comes from the late 19th 1970s, late 1980s, when the Soviet Union collapsed, like the 40s and 50s after the Second World War, North Dakota.
This not only kept me entertained and socially challenged throughout the weekend, but it also randomized a bias variable in the data. Then I told them that the audio recording that they would be listening to was known to be haunted. I had them sit in this enclosed room while studying the painting and listening to the music for 3 minutes while paying attention to how they felt physically and emotionally. And it was actually really fun and interesting to hear about how the music made them feel and even some insightful or ominous details they noticed in the painting. What the volunteers didn't know was that there was a gigantic specialized subwoofer in the room that created infrasound in 50% of the sessions, and unless I saw water vibrating in a bottle or something, I often didn't know if the infrasound was on or off myself.
It's not terribly loud in here. Let's turn the infrasound on. Check this out. Just put my DJI gimbal on the ground here and... geez, it's kind of scary.
After the sessions, I had them fill out a survey about their experience and then swore them to secrecy for the next 48 hours before explaining to them that they had been lied to.
Everything that I told you is a lie. Yeah, I got this on eBay for $30. The music, there's nothing substantial about it whatsoever. 50% of the people who are participating in this study are being subject to a fraction of the infrasound that's coming out of data centers across the U.S.
The most important part of the study was a list of feelings or symptoms with a weighted response between 0 and 10, and most of these symptoms were associated with real-time infrasound exposure symptoms from some older studies. I don't know why, but I feel like it's important that you know that the existence of this video depended on these survey results. There was really no point in making a video about infrasound levels that don't affect anyone. I found that this is the big drawback about funding research through a YouTube channel. Some of the projects I'm involved with aren't really all that interesting, and you don't really even hear about them. Finding the truth is both expensive and risky. And if you want to see more content like this, consider joining my Patreon. But anyway, fortunately for the entertainment side of this business, the results were notable enough for me to finish the video and sit here and tell you about it. The experiment had over 100 participants, but I disqualified anyone who missed a survey question, or someone who seemed suspicious, or said that they felt a vibration, or where I was privy to whether the infrasound was on or off. So this is clean, double-blind data from 74 subjects. The people exposed to infrasound were 25% more likely to feel a tingling sensation or restless legs. The very few people who experienced any type of pain were in the infrasound group. Infrasound caused a 12% increase in tiredness, a 33% increase in nausea, and an alarming 150% increase in dizziness. That one is huge to me, as vestibular disturbance is an obvious physiological effect of low-frequency pressure waves, but it's also the most common complaint from residents in Granbury, Texas. Interestingly, the infrasound group was 11% less likely to be creeped out and 43% less likely to feel spiritual. One theory of mine is that things like dizziness or eye irritation can distract someone from feeling spiritual or exploring the possibility of some type of extraordinary event. The infrasound also appeared to cause a 20% increase in chills and a 33% increase in irritability or depression. The infrasound group was 3 times more likely to experience eye irritation, which very much correlates with the famous Ghost in the Machine paper I mentioned in my previous infrasound video. The group also had an 80% increase in lethargy, which is interestingly pretty drastically different from their 12% increase in tiredness. That could be my mistake, though. I assume that the definition of lethargy might just be a little bit too ambiguous, so I'm casting that from the data and we'll just stick with the tiredness metric. Team infrasound was 55% more likely to feel anxious, 2 times more likely to experience sadness, and the big one, 3 times more likely to experience discomfort. Let's have a quick chat about data. I feel like in my very unique line of work here, there are 2 different ways to communicate data. There's the YouTuber way, which is useful for breaking down data in an intriguing and entertaining way. And then there's the researcher way, which is useful for interpreting or building on research. And this isn't anything new. I would argue that it's not even a bad thing because it's generally how the general public learns about science. You scroll through your newsfeed, you see blah, blah is 8 times more likely to blah, blah. You click it and that opens up a little rabbit hole where you learn about things or behaviors that you never knew existed. So admittedly, in the previous segment, you got a heaping dose of data that's optimized for a YouTube video. Now let's look at the data in the exact same way that I'm looking at it and I'm presenting it to other researchers. So for example, the 33% more likely to experience nausea metric, the viewer may imagine a room with 100 people in it and then 33 of them experiencing nausea, which is very much not the case. The average nausea feeling score from 0 to 10 that each user put in for infrasound is
1.2. For the control group, it's 0.9. That does indeed reflect a 33% increase over the control group, but the numbers are just so low that it doesn't really warrant being prioritized in further research. Another metric that had very low numbers but is worth further research is eye irritation. But this is just yearning for a much larger sample size to verify and figure out what's going on. In my opinion, the only profound metrics here are the spiritual one, with the control group score averaging 4.2 and the infrasound one averaging 2.4. Then dizziness, with the infrasound group averaging a score of 3 and the control group averaging a score of 1.2. And by far the most profound metric of all, and if this gets further research, this is the metric that will probably be the focus of it. The average score in the control group for discomfort was 1.2. The average score for discomfort in the infrasound group was 4.8. When reviewing that data, it's hard for even the most skeptical person to come to any other conclusion than the presence of elevated levels of infrasound is likely to lower your quality of life. I could probably spend the next hour criticizing my own research and rattling off ways that it could be improved, but a sample size of 74 people in a double-blind pilot study is exactly what's needed to get funding for further research, which could improve the research conditions, increase the sample size, and test for different frequencies. What this research really needs is something that most research lacks: repeatability. I currently have three different ways of capturing infrasound, each with their own advantages and disadvantages. The first is a special measurement microphone that has a flat frequency response that goes down to 9 hertz, but it captures all the way down to 3 hertz. So it's very convenient. It operates just like a microphone, and the only thing it requires is a lot of wind protection. Now, if we want full spectrum infrasonic readings with no fall off, or if we want scientific grade accuracy, or if we want to record below 3 hertz, we need to leave the microphone world and use high speed vibration detectors. One of these that is relatively affordable and accurate is the Raspberry Shake 3D system, but it does require a whole lot of setup, but it can record indefinitely. The other is a small vibration sensor and accelerometer that's traditionally used to detect abnormalities and predict safety problems in large lithium batteries. It's tiny, it's portable, it looks cheap, it is expensive. If we want to treat the data from the Raspberry Shake or the vibration meter like a playable audio file, we need to convert the data into Pascals. I used to excruciatingly do this in Microsoft Excel, but now I've made a Python program that can do this with hundreds of files at a time. I'll put it on my GitHub. The majority of the motivation from this project comes from the literally thousands of messages, emails, and comments that I've received over the years from people seeking help or some form of relief from low-frequency noise like the hum or infrasound. And the ultimate lofty goal is for regulators, legislators, or even architects to start taking the environmental effects of sound into consideration when approving or designing a new data center or a new factory or infrastructure component or even a residential building or an office. Prior to this experiment, I feel like we have seen more than enough data to make infrasound monitoring and regulation just as important as air or water quality, especially when you look at the studies pertaining to the cardiovascular effects. It's a very real environmental hazard that has been poorly understood and grossly understudied. And while I suspect that having a universally recognized safety threshold for infrasound might be an overly optimistic goal with a government that can't even enforce their own rules with Elon Musk's methane turbines, it can go a long way in both existing and future lawsuits that seek remediation from problematic noise issues caused by data centers and infrastructure that is actively decreasing both the quality of life and health for those with the misfortune of living near them. I've already been in touch with peers to review and formalize this data, if not expand on it. But in the meantime, there are over 3,000 new data centers that are planned or already under construction in the U.S. alone. And right now is the time to have your local community and legislators set a standard for what's acceptable levels of power use, water use, air pollution, and noise and infrasound pollution. If you have a data center being built nearby your residence and the infrasound research in this video scares the shit out of you, now would be a great time to set up something like a Raspberry Shake and start storing a daily log of seismic and infrasonic activity. Because the vast majority of the responses to complaints and lawsuits is that there is no way of proving whether the infrasound wasn't already present before construction. And even if your legislators have failed you and have no motivation to help your community, you can bet that class action attorneys certainly do. And once again, if you want to help make more research and content like this possible, or join an amazing community, or have access to a pool of music samples and field recordings and a whole bunch more, then my Patreon is for you, and you can join for as little as $1. Thanks for watching. Keep creating. Bye.